Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
That they may have life. Just even know that, like even right now, that he came that you would have life, and it goes on to say life more abundantly. Amen. I got good news for you tonight, that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he wants to give us abundant life. Can I get an amen in the house? If there's one thing that that we amen is that God, that he is King, he is Lord, and he wants to give us an abundant life. Amen. You know, there's going to be some things I'm going to jump into around this series, but even just in the offering and returning our tithe and returning our offering, you'll see that the scriptures that really go along with it, how that we can maintain and how we can live abundantly just even through our giving. Amen. There's a lot of protection around that. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to jump into that topic another night. It won't be tonight, but I want you to understand that, it's me included, that I think that we can tap into some things in the Lord and have a greater revelation. Anybody need greater revelation? Amen. So greater revelation of his word, greater revelation of his truth, and greater revelation of his abundance. Amen. I think God wants to bless his children, and that's good news. Amen. I'm a product of a blessing. I've been blessed by the King. I've been blessed by the Lord. I've been blessed to be a blessing. Amen. So even tonight as we're returning our tithe and offering, I'm just going to pray over that. And, we had a work group out last night, Tuesday night. I know Miranda had some of the women out last night, and they painted, and it looks really good. I will say you guys have done a great job, and you had a lot of good things to work with, and I know there's going to be some scheduled time. We're going to be scheduling some other work there, and here probably before the week's out even. I know there's some more painting and things that need to be done, and getting the new sanctuary ready, and our kids' area. It's going to be great. And then we've got some things to figure out with the cafe area, which is a meeting spot. And it's interesting being in that location. People are already coming by and saying, hey, would you rent us the building? We heard there was a church going in here. Can we rent this building from you? We were just wondering. You got a huge parking lot. This would be a great place for events. Amen. It's going to be a great place for events. Amen. We could even put a tent up there. That's a great idea, too. So praise God. So we're going to see that property get used by the church and watch many people come to Christ. Praise God. So amen. Let's go ahead and pray over this offering tonight. If you got your offering tonight, just hold up your offering tonight. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you, Father, for a giving house. I thank you, Father, that God, that, Lord, it's your precepts, and it's everything that we see in your word, Father, that we have the understanding that even through John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That, Father, that even in the beginning, it was set in motion that Jesus would be given, hallelujah, he would be given up for us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for that. But, Lord, also, Father, that we would walk in the abundance and we would walk in the prosperity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you tonight for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. How's everybody doing? Praise God. I need two testimonies tonight. Let's kick this thing off right. Two testimonies. Brother John, you got a testimony. I know you do. Last week when we went to the New Harmony, right? Yeah. Yeah, tell them about it.
Oh, man, I just swallowed my gum. Testimony, I didn't choke. Hey, man. Well, I'm choking now.
Yeah, come on, Sarah.
So the week we moved to Calhoun County, my daughter went into preterm labor at 20-whatever weeks and had the babies December 30th at 26 weeks, which was way too early. And Ruthie was in the hospital for a long time. I wanted to show you a picture because I can't post them online because she won't let me. But Ruthie was born 1 pound, 14 ounces, was on a ventilator, had like a 50% chance of surviving, and you know, she's here today, and she weighs like almost 9 pounds, and she's not on oxygen anymore, and she's home. And anybody that wants to see the picture closer, just let me know. But God loves children, and I know a lot of you prayed for Kobe too, and he's a testimony too. So God loves children.
Amen. Amen. He does. He does. Praise God. It's good to have you guys back. Amen. And you've missed, and you've been missed, and you've already come back and been helped. You bet you better, Brother John. Amen. 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 Let's just give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Hey, God, you know, and we have been, and we, you know, that morning prayer, people don't realize the impact that our morning prayer time has, the things that we pray for, the things where we see God get a move. Amen. And even just this week, I had another testimony come in from just things that we pray about every morning. Amen. Praise God.
Brother John. Amen. Amen. Hey, we've been going to Harmony twice so far. And the first time we went, there were 7 lovely souls. And I want you guys to say, what's the word this year? Double, yeah. We went last week, there was 14 people.
Hey.
And believe it or not, none of them was the same 7 that came the first week. What a blessing. And how many?
10 salvations.
What a blessing to see all these beautiful souls coming. And we thank our sister over here. She's the one that talked to get that door opened. And God's just moving mightily in that whole place. And, you know, the testimony I have with that, not only that, but it was a lot of them was memory care. Okay? When you go down there, you understand memory care. But, you know, when we started talking about God and preaching the word and giving, everybody in that room was sitting still paying attention. They was all calm. At the beginning, one lady might have said something, but, you know, the pastor, that spirit was gone. But everybody was so calm, and it was just peaceful. And everybody was listening. They all got involved. We had a little display thing to go on. And everybody they just loved the Lord. You could see the love in their eyes when we were speaking. And it's kind of it's a great testimony, but it's kind of sad. How many people's out there just needs to hear about the Lord? And that's what made me sad, because you can see just a cheerful look in their faces. You know, there's many more places, you know, that we just need to get out and touch people. And it doesn't matter if it's at the mall. It doesn't matter if it's on your street. It doesn't matter if it's your workplace or even your family. Just let them know that the Lord loves them. You know, I heard, and my testimony is, I don't want to take up too much time, but made me think when I seen these people, I heard a lot of sermons in my life, thousands. And you know, I never really received it until God showed me how much he loved me. When I finally felt the true love of God, that's when every sermon that I ever heard was truth to me. And before that, I'd hear the sermon and go out and say, oh, that's nice. But when I felt the love of God, just like these people did, and I guarantee it, there's going to be more next time. Because I tell you what, they enjoyed it, and they felt the love of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we went back down to memory care, it was funny, because they have 3 units there, and we just, you know, we just had a chance to, even just on our way out, stop and pray with people. And, you know, God is opening up a door. And for us to be able to go in and share the gospel, you guys think, what's the Go Team do? That's what we do. We go in and share the gospel. And I think that's 4 facilities. And God's going to open up other doors and avenues throughout this community to be able to minister in. And, you know, we're praying for our fire departments. We're praying for our police departments. We're emergency service personnel. We're believing that the Lord's going to, you know, it's interesting. We're, you know, even this past week, just in faith, I said, Lord, you know, it's not only that we want to grow the church, but we want to grow our community. We want to be able to permeate. And what I mean by permeate, you know, people in education, people in hospitals, nurses, doctors, you know, that we want that permeation in our community for people to say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, amen. And, you know, what we find out a lot of times is that there are Christians in a lot of these places, and it will only take sometimes just a spark, right? just somebody said, well, I'm a Christian too. Next thing you know, you're connected and you're doing things together, and that's how God works. And I just it's one of the things you may say, it's important to pray for that. Pray for our communities, that there would be a permeation of the gospel of Jesus Christ going out. We're not the only church. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Other churches catch that vision too. I've been in talks just over the last week and a half with things that are happening in our community, and I think God's going to begin to open those doors as well. Praise God. So, amen. Well, thank you guys very much. You got anything, Pastor Miranda? Oh, I thought, did somebody say something over there? What am I hearing things? Was it you, Amanda? Oh, okay, it was you. I thought, okay, amen. So praise God. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John 10. I want you to highlight the scripture. If you don't have it on your phone, highlight it on your phone. That way you remember it. And I know many of you know this scripture. You've heard it preached, and you've heard it discussed, And I'm going to catch the second part of this, and I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. I'm going to read out Amplified Classic too, and this is the words of Jesus in John 10:10. It says, "I have come that you may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." And out of the Amplified Classic, it says, "I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in an abundance to the full, till it overflows." Father, I thank you tonight for even this word. I thank you, Father, that Lord, it's one of the reasons why you came. It's so that we would have life and life more abundantly. So, Father, we thank you for that. And I pray, God, you know, even through this time of going and talking about the abundance of living as a Christian, Father, that, God, you would increase our revelation of the Word. And, Father, that, you know, even in the revelation of the Word, that we would be able to share this good news. We would be able to share this gospel with so many more people. Father, just for them to know you, to truly know you and the knowledge of you and who you are and the things that you have for your children. I thank you that you have a wonderful plan for each and every one of us. So, Father, I pray, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and give us a heart to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's interesting because I looked this word up, and, you know, when I began to think about that word life, because, you know, that word life, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that a word will have different meanings, and it's like love. You know, there's three or four different types of love, but when I thought about this word life, and I looked it up in the Greek, and you know, bear with me in my Greek, I think I have this somewhat down, but there were three different types of you know, translation in actually the Greek, and the first one was bios, which is I think I'm saying bios or bios is how it's pronounced, and that word it refers to physical life, the life of the body, or the length of one's existence. It's, you know, that word biology comes from that. It's, you know, there's a derivatives of that word, but that word bios is, it refers to physical life. And then the next one, which is the harder word, is shokau, which is it's spelled with a p, but it refers to the soul, which is also the vital force that imitates the body or the breath of life. And I think it's so fascinating, because I remember the one time that Pastor Moran and I were ministering in Hawaii. We weren't there for a very short amount of time, and we had a gentleman come and talk with us, and I can't even use that word right. And how was the from here, there's the breath of God, which we know is the awe of God, but then there's the life life source of God. And how do you say that word? Can you remember how to say that word?
Puhuvai.
Puhuvai, is that right? So, but yeah, Minister Mara, I'm sorry, I'm butchering that up, but I remember him talking with us about it, and it was like where life comes from. And I think sometimes we think about life, we just think, well, you know, it's just I have a good life, right? But I think sometimes if we will tap into understanding, we will tap into understanding the life of Jesus, it will help us reflect so much more of our own life and how we can live for him. Because listen, if the Bible says, and I love this, if it says that you can have an abundant life, guess what that means? You can have an abundant life. You can, that's, isn't that good news? I think that's great news that I can move into an area as a believer and as a Christian and know that I can have an abundant life with the King, with the Lord, with Jesus. I can have an abundant life. I don't know if I get excited already just starting to talk about it. Yeah, Pastor, yeah, you get excited. I do get excited because I think that's the thing as Christians and as believers. We should be in a place where we look like, we act like, where we talk like life is great and we're enjoying life because I'm found in Christ Jesus. I'm found in Him. I'm in it with Him, right? He loves me. He says, but I have come. I have come that you may have life more abundantly. Life more abundantly. Pastor Miranda walked in today and she looked at me and I was watching an interview of two of all people, and I caught it on YouTube, and it was Bill Maher. I don't know if anybody knows who Bill Maher is. He's kind of foul mouthed. He's a comedian, but he's kind of rank and he's kind of foul. And on the other side of him was Charlie Kirk. And it caught my attention because I listen to Charlie Kirk Turning Point thing every once in a while. Charlie Kirk is a Christian, and Bill Maher is not. He's an atheist. He's a professed atheist. He disc religion. He disc a lot of things. And I was like, this is interesting. And so I started the interview, and there, if you listen to it, there wasn't really foul language on it, which that was really good, because Bill Maher, he's flippant with his words. And I don't like that. But I thought, here's the conversation between an atheist and a Christian. And what was so fascinating to me as I was watching this, I began to think about Charlie Kirk is very comfortable with who he is as a believer. We should be very comfortable with who we are as believers. Guys, we should be very comfortable. But on the other hand, I'm watching Bill Maher, and it was like, he's very comfortable being an atheist. And, you know, I thought, he seems to be enjoying life. Now, I don't agree with his viewpoints. I don't agree with the things he believes. I don't agree with his many things. I don't agree with, but I'm listening to him talk as he's pouring a drink of scotch there on the show, right? And he's interacting with Charlie Kirk, who's a Christian, and they're just back. Does anybody watch this? You don't have to go home and watch it, but it was just very fascinating to see the viewpoints of a non-believer and a believer. And the non-believer, he was very content with who he was. Now, I would argue to the point that he's lacking the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ as a believer and as a Christian. And they made some good dialogue coming back and forth between one another. And they begin to talk about faith. And they begin to talk about the virgin birth. And they begin to, you know, and he was, and Bill Maher was very respectful of his opinion. And he's just like, I just don't believe that. And this is why. And Charlie Kirk was, this is why I believe what I believe. So it was very interesting. But the one thing that really jumped out throughout this whole thing is, we as believers, you've heard this preached and you've heard it talked about. We have to understand what we will give an account for. But I want you to know that as a believer, guys, I got good news, man. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. It's okay to enjoy life. Hey. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to love Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy life. And I think sometimes we think we look at this thing with a set of rules and regulations, and it's like, we, you know, if we're seeing it that way, we're not. I truly feel like, yeah, there are things that we have to do as Christians and as believers. But if we're seeing it as a set pattern of rules, you know, even in Romans 2, Paul, he begins to help them understand, you know, your religion, it's useless. And you'll see that throughout Romans 2, but it's so important that you understand that Jesus Christ died so that you could live an abundant life. Abundant joy. Amen. Abundant peace. It's there for you. Love. An abundant amount of love. It's there for you. I think that's I don't know, maybe it hit me the right way today, but I begin to think, man, God, how you want me to live as a believer, how you want me to live as a Christian, how you've set me up. You've set me up to be profitable. You've set me up to take territory, take possession of what He set me up to be this way. Amen. You know, to focus on John 10:10, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. If you read the first part of it, see, this is what happens. People will get stuck on the first. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And they will talk about the enemy and every tactic and everything from hell that has come against them. And they leave the second part of that out. You know, yeah, the enemy. Oh, the enemy. He's a coming. And, you know, but think about it. If death and life is in the power of the tongue, and if you spend more time talking about what the enemy's doing and less forward thinking about the abundant life that Christ has given you, you're kind of crossed over. And listen, I believe that this is the call to our church. I think this is the thing that we have to, in this community, we have to show people that, you know, being a Christian's cool. It is cool, right? But there are benefits in being a Christian, that I have an abundant life. When people see me, they say, hey, no, that guy's different. Something different about him. Brother John drives around the community. What day? Tuesday? Donut day? What day do you do that? Tuesday. So, amen. I need to get you to stop by the house some Tuesday. Amen. Pastor Miranda likes donuts. I'm just saying for her sake. But see, that's an abundant life. You can live that way. You know, it's not about the donuts. It's about the witness. That's an abundant life. Guys, that's the abundant life that He's called us to. See, we have to, this is it. We have to turn it and we have to think differently. An abundant life, Christ said that we could have that. Think about what Christ went through to give us an abundant life. Oh, my. Oh, my, Pastor Miranda, going through the points of where Jesus' body was hit and His blood shed. What was it, 7 places He shed blood? Is that right? So that's good stuff. He did that for us so that we could have life more abundantly. So let's not focus on He come to steal, He come to kill, He come to destroy. Let's focus on the benefits that I will have an abundant life as a believer. That, and you know, the third one was the Zoe life. The Zoe life, which Zoe life refers to an eternal divine life. That you enter into that Zoe life when you get saved. I have an eternity. I have a plan. I'm going home to be with the King one day. It started when I got saved. You know, guys, and I tell you, it's not that as the older I get, I begin to think about eternity, but I don't know. There's just been a pressing where I begin to think about home. I begin to think about heaven. I begin to think about, you know, I begin to think about what's there. I don't know what's there, but I begin to think about that, and I begin to think, man, how much can I do for God now? How much can I do for Him now? Because he's given me an abundance, right? He's given me assignments. He's making all these things possible for me. Praise God. You know, it was interesting because, you know, I've listened to atheists. I've talked with atheists. I've talked with people of all kinds of faith, Jews, Buddhist. I would say this. You know, as a believer and as a Christian, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. As a believer, don't leave your source. Don't ever entertain the thoughts of, well, I can get this another way. And I wanna take some time and go through this because when you hear the word abundance, everybody thinks you're gonna talk about prosperity. You're just gonna talk about money. Pastor's gonna be on this series about money. I'm like, well, you know, I don't want no. People, it's money is one of the. Money's a resource. You needed to put, anybody got to put gas in your car today? Anybody? I did. I about ran out of gas coming here. I had to go pick up Brian. I had to go pick him up. And so we went and picked Brian up, and then we come back by and picked up Miranda, and I looked down, my gas gauge is going ding, 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 and it's below the line. You know, so you need money. You'll need things to be able to take. I had to put gas in the car to come to church, amen? So don't ever feel like when you hear the word abundance, don't just run to thinking, well, we're talking about money. You see, that's a worldview. That's what the world wants to kind of clam into your mind, that, you know, they're going to talk about prosperity. They're going to take up tithe. They're going to take up an offering. We're going to get into that later. But I would ask that you would think about this. You know, what about an abundance in healing? You've been healed more than one time. Anybody in the house? I have. Praise God. He paid for that. So there are things that we can have in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Amen. First thing I want to jump into, it's okay to enjoy life, okay? Guys, it's okay to enjoy life. You know, and my question as I thought about this today, why doesn't everyone enjoy life? Why? You know, we can go through a lot of reasons why, I know that. But the first thing that I want you to understand, the first thing that I want to talk about tonight, God's not partial. He didn't come through this house and say, you're going to be more blessed than the other person. The Bible says that God's no respecter of person. So he didn't come and say, you know, Miss LaDonna, you know, I just like your hair. It's beautiful, and I'm going to bless you because I love your hair. You know, brother John, his hair is not so good, so I'm going to bless him less. God doesn't do that. He's not looking at us individually saying, you're going to have more, you're going to have less. You're going to have more, you're going to have less. We could go through testimonies. I could tell you testimonies of people that I know that lived on streets and now are multimillionaires. People that have filed, Dave Ramsey is a prime example. His story, you know, he got caught up in a mess in... would have been in the 90s. He was flipping houses. And we had dinner with him, and he shared a personal testimony with a bunch of us one night. And he was talking about it. He talked about the fact that he got caught up in the, his mortgages got called in. I don't know if anybody's read his books or anything. It's good books. You should read them. They'll help you with finance. But he got caught up. He was flipping houses. And the banks called in one note, and then the bank found out that they were calling in these notes, and they called in three notes. He got caught up in three house notes getting called in at the same time, which equated to close to $1 million. So he had to file bankruptcy. But, you know, he shared that story. He said, I went from having stuff to having nothing. He said, my wife and I, you know, our next car was, you know, he's like, I had to go work three jobs just to get a car, just to be able to pay for our apartment. When they started out, he said, you know, and I, you know, at that point I had to pay cash for everything. Nobody was going to give me money. He said, I trusted God. I mean, it's a powerful testimony. He said, I put my trust and faith in God. And he said, the one thing that I did, he said, that I felt like I even got comfortable with was returning to God. He said, but when I lost it all, he said, I started out and I did a budget. He said, the first part of my budget, I had tithe and offering. He said, that was the number one thing that I did. I returned my tithe and my offering to the Lord, and then everything else was everything else. He said, it's interesting when you start, I don't know why I'm getting into this, but he said, it's interesting that when you start out and you have to tell the power company, I'm sorry, I can't pay you this month. And they're like, what do you mean you can't pay us? And he was like, you're below the line. He said, I only have so much money. You're below the line this month. I'll try to pay you next month. And he said, well, one of the creditors, it was so funny. He's like, one of the creditors asked him, well, how do you get above the line? He said, be nicer the next time you call. You know, what I'm saying to you that, you know, everybody can have things happen in their life that can cause a, you know, I don't like to use the word setback, but we all can have a setback. We can all have things that where the enemy comes in and he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to bring havoc into your life. Nobody in here would say, that's not been me. that I haven't had something that's caused a rift, that's caused something to take place in my life. But I want to move you back into this area and center you and say, put your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on the author, the finisher of your faith, the one that says that you can have an abundant life. You can have an abundant life. You can have an abundant life. Deuteronomy 10:17. Take your Bibles. I want to show you a few passages tonight. Deuteronomy 10:17. Could you throw that up on the screen? Who do I got back there? Jamie? Deuteronomy 10:17. New King James version, if you got it. So God's not partial. He doesn't pick or choose people. But look at this. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." So God's no respecter. So you want to talk about gaining revelation and understanding of the Word. God's not partial. You may have said, "Well, you ever heard somebody say, well, that person was born with a silver spoon in their mouth?" Anybody ever heard that? I heard that growing up. That person, they were just, now, you know, you can be born into money. You can be born into things. Everybody say, but God. Because, see, he's the one. I mean, I was born into a lot of things. A lot of things that I thought were right. But guess what? I found out along the way there was some truths that I didn't know, and they were biblical truths. Biblical truths about money, biblical truths about my salvation. Can you throw that back up there, Jamie? Deuteronomy 10:17. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." Think about this in the Bible. Just think about people in the Bible where Jesus, you know, God didn't show any partiality. Think about David as a young boy. It didn't make sense to choose David to go out and fight Goliath, did it? This young boy, you know, he shows up at camp, right? He's cocky. He's, you know, his brother's even like, "Why are you here? You're just here to cause trouble. Why are you here?" David says, "Who is this Philistine giant? Who is this guy that comes to defy the armies of the living God?" He's young. He's Rudy, right? That's what, you know, he's young. They estimate he could have been anywhere between 12 to 14 years of age. Even when he says, "I'll fight the giant," Saul was like, "Yeah, here's my armor." His armor wouldn't even fit. He couldn't, you know, he went to put, you know, it wouldn't even fit him. Think about David. Now, in our minds, right, you know, anybody watch action movies, right? You watch action movies, you don't see a lot of Davids go into battle. You see the guy, he's all decked out, Rambo, tatted up, right? He's got muscles everywhere, like The Rock. Like, you see a movie with The Rock, you know people are going to get hurt, right? Because he's going to break somebody's head. But that's what we think when we think about, you know, we think about that. But see, God's not looking at, he's looking at the heart of someone. He's looking at your heart. What's your heart? What's your heart? You know, Joseph. I mean, there's plenty of examples in the Bible. Joseph, thrown into a pit by his family. That's a tough one, right? Family disowned me. They just threw me into a pit. And they all left. And then he gets things figured out, right? He's on track for a couple years. Then he gets thrown in prison. Man, you know, people say, "Well, that's just bad luck." The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not bad luck. What did Joseph not do? He didn't waver. He didn't waver. You know, Potiphar's wife come and made advancements at him. What did he do? He said, "No, how can I do this against my living God?" You see what holiness does? You see when you set yourself before God and you honor God. You honor God. You know, the story of Joseph is one of my favorite Old Testament stories. Because he, you know, God's not partial. He was, you know, think about his life. 7 years of famine. God gave him a plan. He gave him a plan for the nation. And then he spares his whole family. It's a quite remarkable. Daniel, think about Daniel. He's in captivity in a nation that doesn't even know God. They don't honor God. They don't love God. They don't know God. but gets thrown into a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They get thrown into a fiery furnace because they won't bow. They won't bow to other gods. God's not partial, right? He's just, if you catch this tonight, if you get this, he's not looking for a champion. You are the champion. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a you. He's looking for somebody who'll say, you know what, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to have integrity. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm going to be that person that other people can depend upon. I'm going to be a person that's trustworthy and honest. I'm going to be that person. Because I believe God and I love God. Amen. Amen. Because I love God. In Romans 2, you don't just throw that up on the board so they have it. Romans chapter 2, verse 10. You know, Paul's talking to a very intellectual crowd in the book of Romans. And you can see his writing is very, very different even in the book of Romans, but and I think this is where you'll find that, you know, people that get into religious things and they get into religious practices and guys, I'm going to tell you tonight, you can make just coming to church religious. It's Wednesday night, I just got to go to church. It's Sunday night, I just got to go to church. You make it religious. Don't do that. You know, it's what Brother Stephen was talking about the other day. Come ready. Come ready to the house of God. You know, and if you've got a problem, I think sometimes we kind of move away. If you've got something going on, you need prayer, come together with a brother or sister before church. Hey, Pastor, will you pray? Do we believe in the power of prayer here? Do we see God move in prayer? Then don't be ashamed to allow God to move in your life over a situation or circumstance. Isn't God good like that? Amen? Well, you know, they might find out what? If you need healed, you need healed. If you need healed in the mind, you need healed in the heart, you need healed physically, you need healed, get healed. Why? So that you can live life more abundantly. That's where I'm going with this tonight. So that you can live life more abundantly. And guess what? When you start seeing that, you start living that way, guess what happens? Everybody around you will say, that's something different about that person. I'm going to go hang out with that person. That's the anointing. The anointing, what does it do? It rubs off. It rubs off. Get around people that, you know, I don't get around people that are going to bring me down. I called my son the other day just because I needed to laugh. Because my son will crack me up. It literally will take about 45 seconds. And Zane's cutting a joke. And I appreciate that. I appreciate his sense of humor. Because I know, he's all in this chat GPT thing now. And asking questions. And he's debating with AI now. It's so fun to listen to some of the things he comes up with. He even roasted himself. I think I said that the other day. He roasted himself on chat GPT. He said, make fun of me. And he took a picture of himself, and it did. So he thought, this is really cool. This is fun. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 10, because, I know it's going to be hard to move past this tonight, but if you even tonight, just this first thing, God's not partial. He can use you. Come away tonight knowing that God can use me. Amen. God can use me here. God can use me there. He can use me. He can use me to advance the kingdom of God. God's eyes are upon me. He's looking around right now. The Bible says, and I believe that you'll see this even greater in the last days. You'll see it happening. You'll see God, people get saved, radically saved. The people that were thinking, never thought that person would ever get saved. Get saved. Get on fire for the things of God and lead whole groups of people to the Lord. You know, I was with Brother Jared on Monday up in Pittsburgh, and I did a cold plunge for the first time. It was an experience, I'll say that. But it was good. But, you know, one of the things that I got to do, he was like, I'm going to invite a friend, and we're going to minister. Okay, Jared's a guy that knows a lot of people. I mean, I don't think you could go anywhere in Pittsburgh where even a professional athlete, he'd be like, hey, Ben, how's it going? You know, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he just knows everybody, and he's like that. So we're there hanging out, Ryan and I. Where's Ryan here? Oh, he's upstairs. So Ryan and I are hanging out, and in walks this guy. He's cut. I'm like, it's like, man, he's good size, you know. How's it going? What do you do? I said, I'm going for a fighter, MMA, boxer. He said, I'm a boxer, professional boxer. Oh, cool. You know, we're there for just a little bit of time, and God begins to move. He begins to just, you know, it's the anointing, because Jared and I made very small talk. We weren't like, well, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, we're in this sauna. Next thing I know, it's just like, you know, we're doing breathing, and it's really, I don't know, it's healthy. I mean, it's actually really a great experience. And this guy just, he begins to break, and he begins to open up. He's like, man, I need help. I need help. And I think sometimes it's like we miss this. Guys, what I'm saying to you tonight is I don't want to miss this. I don't want us to miss this. I don't want us to miss these things where God can move. God can move in our lives. God's not partial. This young man, this guy that's a boxer, I'm like, man, if he gets touched, he gets impacted. Guess what he could do? He could go change lives, right? He could go, and that's what he did. He went and got saved. He went to revival today with Brother Jared, and he went up. He got saved. He gave his heart to Jesus. And he's got a bunch of questions right now. What's Jared doing? He's on the backside saying, "Hey, won't you come be with the brothers?" That's why we do men's. That's why we do women's. That's why we have life groups. Hey, won't you come and hang out with us? Let's do life together. You're going to have questions. There's an enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I have come that you would have life and life more abundantly. We've got to show people the abundant life. Let's not focus on all the death, right? Let's focus on the abundant life. Let's focus on the benefits. It's not to come and relate, yeah, I got this thing happen too. You know, you wouldn't believe it. No. Let's talk about the victories. Let's have the testimonies. Let's talk about the good things, the abundant life. Let's talk about the good things that God's doing. Amen. We win. We're going to win. We keep winning. Amen. That's our story. Praise God. Romans chapter 2, verse 10, he says, but glory and honor, peace to everyone who works what is good. I love that. Is it there? But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good. You're working this. You got to work it. You know, righteousness has to be worked. Faith has to be worked, guys. Faith has to be, you have to work these things. An abundant life has to be worked. You can't, let's just take a month off. No, you can't just take a month. Well, it's just, I'm going to take a sabbatical from God. No, you don't take sabbaticals from the Lord, right? You don't. I mean, I've heard some crazy stuff. I've had pastors tell me, you know, just all the people, just stressed out with all the people. Why did you become a pastor? Did you just want three people in your church? You know, how many people you pastoring? Oh, you got about 20. All the people. You need a sabbatical? Come on now, let's do this thing. You know, I'm not saying. It's a matter of shifting. It's a matter of thinking. It's a matter, you know, because you have to always point people towards Jesus. My job as a pastor will always be to show you where to find the answers, and it's found in Him. Counsel is important, right? You know, Pastor Brand and I, you know, over the years we've done counseling. You know, and I've done intensive counseling, and I would probably agree with Pastor Jonathan. The longer that you keep somebody in counseling in your church, and when things start to break, good or bad, and I've seen it happen both ways, good, they leave. Bad, they leave, right? They don't stay because it gets so personal. But every time that I do, we've done it, I say, this is what you need to do, though. You need to commit. Are you off on Sundays? Yeah, I'm off on Sundays. You and your wife be in church together. Well, I don't know if we, then you don't really want help. Because you don't want to help my marriage? Being in church with my wife. You know what sustained my marriage over 27 years? Being in church with my wife. That's one of the greatest recipes for me personally. I would say for me personally was being in the house of God with my wife. But glory and honor, peace. Let's look at that. To everyone who works what is good. You got to keep working it, right? An abundant life has to be worked. You know, Take a day off, right? We talked about that today. Take a day off. You need to take a day off. That's the Sabbath. God made it for you. Take it off. If you're not doing that, you're not doing what God's asked you to do. But glory to honor and peace to everyone who works what is good to the Jew first and also the Greek. God's not partial. He's not partial, right? First the Jew, then the Greek. He's not partial. Praise God. Praise God. Let's touch on this one thing tonight. You guys got that God's not partial, right? He's no respecter of people. I don't need to rehearse that, right? You guys got that. I know I'm kind of like driving the point home tonight, right? Point number one, God's not partial. He loves you. He's no respecter of people. He can use you. It doesn't matter what color hair you have, how long your hair gets. I had a guy tell me the other day, he's like, yeah, I went to a church not long ago. Country guy from West Virginia. That's how they talk, right? Every country guy from West Virginia talks that way. Went to church and walked in, and the pastor looked at me and said, you know, you need to shave your beard if you're ever going to come back here. You need to go home and shave your beard before you come back. He said, is your church that way? I said, brother, I said, you know, if you need shoes, I'll buy you shoes. But, you know, if you need a comb, I'll buy you a comb. But if you got a beard and you want to come to church, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I can't believe he told me that. I never knew churches wouldn't allow you to come to church if you had a beard. He said, you know what I told him? I said, what picture have you ever seen where you didn't see Jesus with a beard? And he looked at me and said, what do you think about that? I said, I don't. I said, but you know, I know a church that will welcome you. Amen. Amen. How do we have an abundant life? How do we have an abundant life? Let's take your Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I'm gonna jump into this. I'm gonna dig into this, whether on Wednesdays. I don't know if I'll shift it into Sundays or not. How do we have an abundant life? How do we have an abundant life? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. I want to pick up there here in a second. How do we have an abundant life? We preach on this topic, we talk about this topic, but I want you to understand that we have an abundant life through an understanding of what love is, of what true love is. The Bible says God so loved the world, right? So if we hold fast to that teaching, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved you and me enough to give his son, to give himself. I mean, think about it. It's his son, but it's God in flesh. It's him. He himself came to earth, and he's saying, I'm giving myself away for your benefit. Wow. Isn't that huge? I mean, I think sometimes we don't marvel over that revelation that he did that. He came down, give himself so that we would have life. I think it's quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. You know, Joyce Meyer says this. It's interesting. She says, you may, who was talking, it was, Renee and I were talking about Joyce Meyer the other day. She makes this comment. She says, you may not be responsible for things that happen to you, but how you respond to it is up to you. And that's very good. You may not be responsible for things that happen to you, things that in life that have come your way, things that have happened. You may not be responsible for that, but how you respond to it is up to you, and how you respond to it matters. Did everybody catch that? That's really good revelation. I could sit here and go through a list of things, and we could rip off a lot of things, man. Things where we were wrong, things where people have done things that, you know, that have hurt. You know, maybe it's physical. You know, maybe it's abuse, physical, sexual abuse. There's a rampant of things that you could go through, that people go through in life that are just completely unfair. You know, Joyce Meyer's story. I mean, she was, you know, she talked about how, you know, even as a young person that, you know, that happened, and then with another person. And throughout her life, you know, there was just things of abuse in her life. And, you know, it was interesting because she says this. She says, you know, I look at this situation in my life now, and she said, what it's done was it's allowed me to be in this place of where I can actually teach others and talk with others about this now. But I would say this, how we learn to respond matters. And I found this today, and I thought about this, and I thought about, you know, I thought about how we have an abundant life. A lot of times is it determines, and what matters is how we respond. You know, honestly, how we respond. Because we've all been hurt. We've all been offended. We've all had stuff, just, you know, just to go back to it, but understand where that stuff comes from. I made up my mind many, many years ago. I've asked God certain questions in my life, like the why questions. I've done that. I've asked questions like that. But I have never, in turn, switched it over and blamed God and said, God, why did you do this? I think for me it was something, maybe early on I didn't, I haven't had that anything in my mind that way for a very long time. So forgive me if I did, maybe when I was first saved, but forgive me, Lord. That's how serious I take it, because and I think that's the thing about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is very real. It is very, very, very real. But, you know, I think the one thing that I realized, that, you know, my response, and I'm taking it back to an abundant life, right? My response, how I learn to respond to things matters, right? And if I'm going to have life and life more abundantly, I think that's the thing. I've got to put on Christ. I've got to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? It truly is love. There's no deeper revelation or deeper understanding. Look at Corinthians 13. There's no greater, you know, love keeps no record of wrong. Aren't you thankful that Jesus isn't up there tallying up your sheet of all the things that you've done after you got saved, right? Oh, praise God, right? Let alone before you ever got saved. It's not what's taking place. But anyway, let's look at the scripture together. Get together. Yeah. You guys still trekking with me tonight? It says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Keep going. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Look at that. That you may be sons. You may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil, right? This is the point. There's evil in the world. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Keep going. Praise God. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Was that it? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We want to lock some keys in the areas of abundance. Love is one of those keys. Love is one of those keys. One of those keys, you know, we come into relationship and understanding of greater revelation when we have greater revelation around the areas of love. You know, Jesus said, you know, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. I know I've repeated this, but I really feel like there's some things that we as a body are going to unlock in the areas of abundance. And I tell you, you know, the one area, you know, God's helped me. These are my own personal stories, and I know many of you have personal stories and testimonies around it too, but I tell you, when God helped me walk through some forgiveness issues in my life, they were very real. Very real. Very, very real things that I had to deal with. Everybody's like, yeah, me too. Yeah, you're not special. Yeah, you say, yeah, me too, Pastor. Your problem's not any more special than mine. And I agree. I don't disagree. I mean, because I realize that even as I say that, somebody's like, you don't know what happened to me. Like, you know, and honestly, yeah, there's always that. I've sat with people that I'm like, how are you even alive? How are you even alive? And of course, it being the Lord. It being the Lord. The Lord either spared someone's life or and ultimately had a better plan. But I think one of the things that you can see here, one of the things that can lock us up, one of the areas that can keep us of experience that abundance in our life is unforgiveness, it's bitterness, it's strife, it's all those things that truly come from an enemy. There is an enemy that will try to rob you of your faith. He'll want to keep you in isolation. He'll want to keep you in unforgiveness and bitterness. And he'll want you, you know, I'll love these 10 people, but no more. I'm not loving anybody. This is it. I'm not going anywhere else with my love. I keep my love to myself. See, think about Jesus. If Jesus would have kept his love to himself, only 12 people would have been saved, right? Really 11, right? Because one bowed out. They drew lots to get another one in. So, I mean, think about it. If Jesus really only, you know, loved, there was the three, right? You know, there was really only three, you know, but then there was the one that was really close to you. Jesus really only loved one person, right? No. It's that we would learn to love like Christ, that we would learn to see people as he sees people. Man, I tell you guys, you got to run hard and fast to keep that in front of you, to keep that love. You know, you think about it. How hard is it? You know, honestly, it's, man, I shook this loose many years ago. Pray for your enemy. The first few times, it wasn't easy. But, you know, I'll say this. I knew enough not to bring a cursing on that person. Because I know how serious a curse is. Curses are real. They're very real. They're very, very real. And so, you shall love your neighbor. And I think about what Jesus says. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. He turns it all around, doesn't he? Doesn't he turn it all around? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. And think about it. Bless those who curse you. Miranda and I, one time, we were in the process of giving vehicles away for a while. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to see a return on that. Praise Jesus. And I remember we had a girl that worked for us, and I knew her, and went to school with her and had a kid, a young baby. Her and her husband just moved into the area and gave her a job. And their car broke down. They live clear out past Pennsboro, out 74. You guys look, where are you at? I'm traveling right now anyway. So I'm out 74 Pennsboro. It's about 25 minutes away from where we work. So just to give you a picture. And I told Miranda, for whatever reason, I said, you know, we got that. I don't know if we had an extra car. I don't think we ever had an extra car, did we? A third car, right? We just like, no, I don't think we did. I said, you know, we got that van. Let's just give her that van. And she's like, well, you know what? Let me give you $700. I'm like, just do whatever you want to do. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. Just here's the van. And she said she was gonna give us money for the van. And I would just, even at that point, both of us felt like, we're probably not going to see that. And she worked for a very short amount of time for us, and you know, never paid. And that was fine, because we felt to, you know, give that. She said, let me do this. And it was like, nah. But even in things like that, you know, you have to protect your heart. You have to protect your heart where you do things for people, or you do something like that, you know, where you don't let any kind of bitterness or strife. Well, she said she was going to pay me that money. You know, that person owes me. People don't think about it. Yeah, never mind. People, you know, that mindset, though, that people just owe me. You owe me. Come on. Has God not been merciful? Has God not been that with you? Has God not, I mean, think about it, really. Has God not been that with you in your life? Amen. He has for me. Maybe nobody else in here. No, just Pastor Brad. Just me. Praise God. Pastor, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to love. You don't understand. I'm telling you what Jesus is doing. He's showing us how to live more abundantly through love. He that's what he's doing. And like I said, if we'll step into it. I mean, listen, I'm very big on this. If there's any areas of forgiveness you need to walk in with anybody, do it. Don't let things settle. Don't let things, because this is a thing that people never understand. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting themselves when they walk or they carry that heavy load of, you know, that I'm just going to be mad. I don't care. I'm not so, you know, don't get that. Don't be that way. I'm not telling you got to go have coffee with them 5 days a week. That's not what I'm talking about. Get your heart right with and have your heart right like Jesus. Amen. In the Bible, the Bible says be at peace with all men. It doesn't, just a few. The few that you want to be with. See, that's the mind. People get that mindset. I'm just me and nobody else. Just me and no. You've got to see what Jesus sees. He's seen all of us. He's seen the sea of people, right? So don't pick and choose who you love. Love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. Amen. Love that God would help us love more like him. Amen. That's my prayer. You guys pray for your pastor that I would love like Jesus. Repent quickly. I probably don't say this enough. I don't say this enough. Repent quickly. If you've missed it, get your heart right with God. If you need to forgive somebody, repent quickly. That bitterness, that strife, that stuff it'll get birth in your heart and it'll be hard for you to move away from stuff. You'll get jaded and I believe this is what's going to happen. Praise God. Thank you for this. Matthew 24, the Bible says that many will be offended in the last days. I believe what's going to happen, people's hearts will get so jaded and they'll get so screened over. And what I believe is a vog or a type of vog that come on people and they're just delusioned by you know, just... They're numb to the power of God. They're numb to the things of faith. They're just, I'm just going through the motions. We're not called to go through the motions. We're called to live in abundance. Man, I feel that tonight. I feel, God, we're called to live in abundance. We're not called just to float around as believers. Whatever happens, happens. That's not the Christian life. So don't ever settle. Don't settle for that. You're different. Everybody say, I'm different. Because that's, one more time, everybody say, I'm different. Because that's it. I'm not like that. I'm not slipping into this. I'm not flowing this way. My life's different. Amen. God's looking for an army, guys. And I believe that God's going to use this house, use the people to help set people free. I'm talking real freedom. I'm not talking about just... You know, we're all going to love a little better. No, there are people that are getting ready to that come through these doors that we're going to say, wow. Some of you are the wow already. Right? So, I mean, honestly, if we went through this room and listened to testimonies, and, you know, and even if we heard some of the things that some of us have, you know, BC, we would all be like, oh, I can't believe I'm in church with them, right? You'd say that about me, your pastor, probably too. We're going to love greater. We're going to step into, and I believe this, hear this tonight, we're going to step into the abundance of the Lord. Minister, just come. Praise God. Good place to stop. I just, God help us. Man, we need help. Guys, church, we need help. We need help with the revelation of love. Not some skewed idea of what the world calls love. Or even what some Christians want to call love. True love forgives. True love walks in repentance. That's true love. True love will walk in repentance. I'm going to forgive all but this. I'm going to do this all but this. No. It's getting it all before the Lord. Say, Lord, I need help. Take it. Get it out of my life. Help me. I'm not settling. I'm not staying here. I didn't know how this tonight was going to go, but when I felt like the Lord give me this, and I'm like, the abundance, 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 and I'm like, God, you're going to release something in me through this word. I feel this word just like I felt to preach around passion and the fire of God. that God's people are going to begin to walk in abundance. That's me. That's you. Amen. That's where we're going. Amen. We're gonna see the abundance of the Lord in our lives. Our families are going to be changed. Our lives are going to be changed. Our businesses are going to grow. We're going to see God. We're going to see God manifest His presence. We're going to start seeing souls, people come. You know, that's a faith step now. We prayed for the harvest now, and we prayed for the harvesters. Now we go.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.